Good morning. We still have 10 minutes of morning here. We're going to call this meeting of TRPA Governing Board to order. The date is Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. It's 11:50 a.m. and we're having a virtual meeting today. For the first item on the agenda, Mario, would you please call roll to determine the quorum?
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mr. Beyer?
Here.
Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Here.
Ms. Faustinos? Mr. Friedrich?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Hicks?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novacell? Ms. Novacell? Mr. Rice?
Here.
Here. Sorry, I'm here. I couldn't find the mute button.
Thank you. Ms. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it. We'll now go over the meeting rules for the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov, select March 24, 2021 Governing Board Meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in the Governing Board Meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function of the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. If you wish to make a comment about something not on the agenda, we'll hear your comments during the general public comment period at the end of the meeting, agenda item 12. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the governing board. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for a dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you're using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is opened in the Google.Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you're joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the governing board, you will need to log in to GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN number. To governing board members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via chat function if you are online, or speak up if you are calling in. If you can't get to your chat function control panel, then just notify me verbally and I'll make sure that you have the floor. Please make sure you send your chat to panelists and organizers. Board members may only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. And finally, everyone remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Okay, we're moving to item number two. And that is the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to give everybody a few seconds here to unmute, because this always seems to, we struggle with this just a little bit. So let's unmute. And then I would like to ask Cindy if she would like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll all follow when she starts.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Let us begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America,
to the Republic,
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible,
and liberty and justice for all.
That would make a recording professional very proud. Thank you very much for that. Okay, thanks, Cindy. I appreciate that. Let's move to item number three. Approval of agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda Joanne?
There are no changes, Mr. Chair.
Great. We'll deem the agenda approved as posted. Let's move to agenda item number four, approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes from February 24, 2021, governing board meeting. Any questions or comments on those minutes?
Move for approval. This is Barbara Siafke.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, Barbara, would you entertain an amendment to your motion to include some clerical changes that I forwarded on to Maria?
Oh, of course. And thank you. I should have asked. I apologize, Shelley. Thank you for doing that.
Great. We have a motion with an amendment to include Shelley's changes. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you so much. We'll move to agenda item number five, TRPA consent calendar. There are four items on consent. Two items were reviewed by Operations and Governance Committee and two by the Legal Committee. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. Shelley, can you give us a report from the Operations and Governance Committee meeting earlier this morning?
Yes, thank you. As you noted, there were two items on the consent calendar that were reviewed and subsequently approved by the Operations Committee. One was the February financials, and the other was a revised allocation of local transportation funds in the amount of $75,000 to TRPA.
Great. Thank you so much. Before we move off of those two, is there any discussion from the board members, the governing board members, on either of those two items? Hearing none. I will give the report from Legal Committee. At Legal Committee, we had two items as well. Both of them were settlements. One involved the unauthorized watercraft launching without an inspection. Another was the commencement of a project without a pre-grade inspection and unauthorized grading outside of grading season. Both of those matters were settled, and the Legal Committee recommended on both of those matters to approve the settlement. So let me see here. Give me 1 second. Do we have any discussions from the board members on the two matters that I just gave a report on? Hearing none, we'll now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Can I hand this over to Maria? Or Tracy or Catherine? I'm not quite sure who.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This is Catherine Hanglin. I'll assist you with public comment today. We have one hand raised, Ann Nichols.
Okay.
I think it's a mistake. I'm sorry. I just wanted to do general public comment. I didn't want to comment on legal.
Okay, yes. And this is the consent calendar. So great. So that was a mistake. Do I have a motion on the consent calendar?
Mr. Chairman, I move
the consent calendar
as presented.
Great. We have a motion to approve the consent calendar. John, we need a roll call vote. Let's do a roll call.
Please. Ms. Aldi?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer?
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Friedrich?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great. Thanks so much, Maria. Appreciate it. We're going to move to agenda item number 6, planning matters. Item 6A, release and briefing on the draft 2009 threshold evaluation. Item 6A, let's see, information on this item can be found on page 45. As a reminder to the public, after a staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. At this point in time, I would like to pass the meeting over to Ken Kasman to present this matter. Hi, Ken. How are you? You're on mute.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, or actually good afternoon now, 12:01.
Yes. Just broke. Yes.
I'm just wondering, Tracy or Maria, if I can take control of the screen as well.
Ken, we're in the process of handing it over to you.
Ken, you have control.
Excellent. Thank you very much, team. Again, good afternoon. For the record, this is Ken Kasman. I am the Research and Analysis Division Manager for TRPA, and I'm really proud to be with you today to release the draft 2019 threshold evaluation. This evaluation draws on the work of TRPA and so many of our partners in the Environmental Improvement Program, our federal, state, and local agencies, and our research institutions. Now, the question may be, why is this a draft? And we realize that we just dropped the equivalent of hundreds of pages on you literally last night, and we're not expecting detailed questions or even that you've had a chance to review the evaluation yet. There's a ton of information in that. And our goal today is to highlight a couple of nuggets, some key results and findings that we want you to know about. And we'll have plenty of time to review the evaluation, and anybody can submit comments or questions to us over the next several weeks. And we'll confer with our partners and make necessary changes for the final evaluation, which we'll bring back in a few months. Okay, perfect. So today we're going to walk through some of the background of our threshold system itself, and particularly for our newer board members, provide a little bit of background. We'll discuss a few of the key findings and success cases, as well as some meaningful areas to look out for and trends that tell us where to focus our next steps. We'll also do a quick walkthrough of our newly updated threshold dashboard and provide some tips for navigating this online evaluation. This evaluation is our 7th comprehensive evaluation of environmental conditions in the Tahoe region. The thresholds are the region's long-term goals, but things don't change much in 4 years. For example, the clarity goal is still decades out, and old growth can only improve as fast as our existing trees can grow and age. But much like our prior evaluations, the region is making incremental progress towards achieving our goals, and the 2019 threshold evaluation shows this progress. This evaluation is also a transitional evaluation in many ways. The last two were peer-reviewed for their methods and their assessment technique, and to recommend improvements to our monitoring evaluation programs. And the reviewers also recommended ways for improving the standards themselves. These reviews set up our threshold update process, which has already made significant changes, including removing redundant standards and policy statements. So overall, we currently have 146 threshold standards, and that's down from 178 in the 2015 evaluation without changing any of our environmental protections. There's also transition in the evaluation itself. Because of our improved monitoring and evaluation, we made attainment determinations for 13 additional standards in this evaluation. And we collected high resolution aerial imagery and the second basin-wide LIDAR data collection in partnership with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab for impervious coverage analysis. And our vegetation analysis used the U.S. Forest Service EcoObject remote sensing data set that takes the LIDAR and can distinguish individual trees and determine forest conditions. We also completed the first lake-wide aquatic invasive species survey to identify both native and invasive aquatic biomass in the lake and to provide a baseline for change detection in our future evaluations. It's also transitional in how we are presenting the evaluation itself. Our newly updated interactive dashboard on Lake Tahoe Info replaced more than 1,300 page report and appendices from the 2015 evaluation. And it provides interactive maps and tables and interconnections to illustrate the contribution of EIP projects and other projects to threshold attainment. So we're moving the system to the next iteration. It's a one-stop shop for evaluating the conservation success of the EIP and the effectiveness of the regional plan. The dashboard is a centerpiece of the Digital First initiative that we talked to you about in December. The format is modeled after best practice for presenting dynamic and complex information to the public, decision makers, and stakeholders. It makes layers of information far more transparent and readily available. It better links regional actions to outcomes and allows for real-time updates. And those who are keen to know which statistic we looked at for a threshold attainment status or how our monitoring programs were developed can do a bit more clicking and get to that detail. I'll show you more about that in a few minutes, but first we'll take a look at the high-level conclusions of this evaluation. Overall, we report on 113 of the 146 standards in this evaluation, and 80% are in attainment. We were unable to report status on 33 standards, either because they do not have defined targets or because data were not available. But we were able to improve on the reporting and categorization of 13 additional standards in 2019 and reduce the number of undetermined from 46 in the 2015 evaluation. Now, taking all standards into account, 62% of our standards are in attainment, 16 are out of attainment, and status was not determined for 22%. Now, this chart shows the distribution of our 146 standards, and each icon represents a unique standard in each category. The green represents standards that are in attainment, the red are standards out of attainment, and gray are the standards where no status was determined for this evaluation. All of the standards that we report for air quality, fisheries, scenic, and recreation are in attainment. In noise, the 24-hour standards for plan areas are mostly in attainment, but the single event noise standards that we monitor are out, and most of the single event standards are not monitored or reported because the standards have been identified in the last two peer reviews as being too complex and too resource intensive, and the standards unrealistic. In soil conservation, the SEZ standards are out of attainment, but we're nearing achieving the restoration standard. And in vegetation, the standards for uncommon plants, like our deep water plant communities, and old growth are out of attainment, but most of the other vegetation standards are unchanged. And in water quality, most of the standards cannot be measured because targets either were not established or data is not available. But in September 2020, the Threshold Update Stakeholder Working Group, affectionately known as TUISWIG, recommended, based on information from the Tahoe Science Advisory Council, that we reorganize and update the water quality standards, and we'll be bringing those changes to you forward to you soon. The update will enable better tracking and reporting on this critical area for our future evaluations. Now, moving over to trends, in this evaluation, 96% of the trends reported were either stable or improving. And it's important to keep in mind that environmental resource management stability often is the goal. In fact, more than a third of the threshold standards call for non-degradation of a resource or direct the agency to maintain an environmental value. Now, as with statuses, we were able to report on an additional 13 standards in this evaluation compared to 2015, bringing the total number of standards reported for trends to 54%, which is up from 45% in the 2015 evaluation. Now, next, we're going to present a few areas where we think are most important for you and the people you represent to know about. And we're not here to talk through every detail of this evaluation, but we want to provide you with some insight that helps inform your decision-making. Starting with our stream environment zones. As we discussed with you in December, TRPA and our partners, with funding from the EPA, completed the first ever comprehensive baseline assessment of our stream environment zones in the entire region. This three-year project used field data and remote sensing to assess the condition of all SEZ in the region. And this assessment provided the basis for attainment determinations for SEZ restoration standards, where we're seeing steady improvement and the region is approaching a historic milestone where we're about to achieve the goal of restoring 25% of our disturbed SEZs. And the assessment helped inform our stream habitat standard in our fisheries category, which came into attainment and has improved markedly with recent stream restoration projects. The assessment also provides a benchmark from which to assess status and trend for our future evaluations, and it sets the foundation for our threshold update processes and new SEZ goals and guides restoration efforts for the Environmental Improvement Program. In scenic, TRPA monitors nearly 900 different scenic viewpoints along our roadways, our shoreline, public recreation areas, and bike trails. We modernized the scenic evaluation and created an interactive map in the evaluation that allows users to click through the individual scenic points and to view photos that were used for the evaluation. Currently, we have all of the 2019 photos in the system, and we'll be adding historic photos soon, so you can actually see the scenic improvement over time for each point in the region. 93% of the scenic points for this evaluation met or exceeded the scenic threshold standards, and values for 11 of our resources increased in this evaluation, and none decreased. Another notable success is Tahoe Yellow Crest, although it might not look like one at first blush. Tahoe Yellow Crest, or TYC, is a small, rare, mustard-like plant with yellow flowers that only grows on the exposed shoreline of Lake Tahoe and nowhere else. Its population and habitat is highly dependent on lake level. When the lake is high, the populations drop. And when the lake drops, the TYC numbers explode. And because the lake was high for the last several years, TYC populations were below the threshold standard, so we deemed it out of attainment for this evaluation. But the numbers don't tell that story. If you look closely, the current populations are roughly double the numbers observed during the last sustained periods of high lake levels. And in fact, surveys have found that most of the suitable habitat that is still exposed is occupied. And because of the TYC conservation strategy and MOU developed by TRPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Forest Service, Nevada Natural Heritage Program, and Nevada Divisions of State Lands, Forestry, and Parks, and California State Lands, Parks, and Fish and Wildlife, the Tahoe Conservancy, League to Save Lake Tahoe, and the Tahoe Lakefront Owners Association, our population numbers for TYC are growing. And TYC was removed from consideration under the Endangered Species Act in 2015. Another notable area that we've seen improvement is our wildlife standards, where all but one of these standards are in attainment. Now, these standards protect the nesting and range habitat of our wildlife from human disturbance and prevent development that may destroy their habitat. And as we discussed in December, peregrine falcons in particular have made a remarkable recovery in the Tahoe Basin. Our EIP partners and our recreation providers work together to discourage nest disturbance from hiking and climbing activities near our peregrine falcon nest sites, resulting in the highest population of peregrine and the highest number of active peregrine sites, nests in the Tahoe region in decades. Now, the threshold evaluation is a core element of the adaptive management process for the region. And this evaluation highlights some of the areas of concern, particularly the growing impact of climate change on our region. These impacts are mostly visible in the air and water quality thresholds, two of the areas that the region has invested heavily, and those gains are being influenced by climate change. Now, to be clear, air quality in the Tahoe region continues to be very good. In fact, nearly all of our standards are in attainment. But the air quality concerns of today are no longer about auto emissions as they were in the past, but rather extreme fire events. The increasing severity and intensity of wildfires, particularly outside of the Tahoe region, is impacting our air quality. As we see here on the graph on the left, the annual average of large particulates, which have been steadily decreasing over time. However, on the right, we see that the highest measurements for 24-hour concentrations of particulate are actually increasing as a result of large, intense wildfire activity across the West. In region, we're doing what we can. The Forest Health subgroup of the EIP and the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team are working to reduce in-basin risks of catastrophic wildfire through forest health and fuels reduction projects. Now, lake clarity is another area of concern in response to the possible effects of climate change. The historic decline in clarity is well documented. Between the late 60s and 2000, nearly 30 feet of clarity was lost. And aggressive action by land managers and agencies has halted the decline. Since 2000, the lake's clarity has remained stable and the long-term trend is encouraging. Our investments are working. However, recent observations show a diverging trend in clarity. While winter clarity appears stable or improving, summer clarity continues to decline. And research indicates that the summer clarity declines are likely tied to the interconnected issues of climate change and invasive species. Now, three climate change-driven observations that we think are reducing clarity. First, that as more precipitation falls as rain and not snow, the inflow to the lake brings higher sediment with it. And because it's warmer, this enriched flow doesn't plunge as deep into the lake as it otherwise would if it were colder. So the suspended sediments remain higher in the water column, affecting clarity. Second, and similarly, as the overall lake warms, it mixes less frequently. Now, mixing is when the waters at the bottom of the lake come up to the surface, and the relatively rich sediment-infused waters at the surface plunge to the bottom, improving surface clarity. But if the lake doesn't mix, then those high concentration sediments remain near the surface and affect our clarity. Third, the warming surface waters have made the lake more hospitable to clarity-impairing algae called cyclotella. And increasing cyclotella lowers clarity, especially in the summer. And it's also flourishing because of the loss of natural predators, likely because of invasive species. Now, understanding these drivers of summer clarity is a priority of the states of California and Nevada and the Tahoe Science Advisory Council. And TRPA and our partners continue to work closely with the science community to understand the causes and how to influence these declines in the face of climate change. But what we are doing has made a difference. Clarity would be much worse without the regional investments. The Tahoe TMDL partners continue to exceed our annual load reduction milestones. And in the TMDL's 2020 performance report, every implementer exceeded their credit target, and the cumulative load reductions are well on their way to achieving the second five-year milestone established by the TMDL. Now, understanding what climate change means to the physical and ecological dynamics of the lake is still under investigation, and we'll work with our science partners to develop management strategies that influence and seek to adapt to the effects of climate change on the lake. Now I'm going to shift gears, and I'd like to take a few minutes to provide a quick walkthrough of our newly updated threshold dashboard and to provide some tips for navigating the site. As you can see on the slide here, the link for The threshold dashboard, which is also included on your packet on page 62, or actually page 114 with all of the minutes, provides that link. I'm going to actually start first at the TRPA website so that we can demonstrate how you can get to Lake Tahoe info from TRPA if this more detailed link, thresholds.laketahoeinfo, is too difficult to remember. So going to the TRPA website, so going to the TRPA website here, you can see that at the bottom, there's a link for Lake Tahoe info right here. And we'll click on that and go directly to laketahoeinfo.org. And the threshold dashboard is located right here on the right-hand side. So once we're on the main homepage of the threshold dashboard, we'll point out a couple of the features that you can see here. First, at the very top, we have large boxes for each threshold category. If you're interested in a specific category and you want to drill into that information directly from here, you can do so just simply by clicking on those boxes. You can also scroll down to the bottom of the evaluation where each category is listed here. And you can open the boxes or the plus sign to open up a specific category and subcategory. You can also click this expand level button to open the entire evaluation and see every standard of the 146. From here, you can click on the subcategory, or you can click into individual indicators and standards by just simply clicking on the name. Once you're in a specific threshold standard, we have a lot of detail here on the page, including an interactive map that you can scroll through and see the specific values. You can see the evaluation itself and the determination that was made for the 2019 threshold evaluation here on the right. You can also see the detail of the standard itself that is referenced by this indicator. Some high-level points about that indicator and our evaluation, as well as a map of our monitoring locations. You can also scroll down to the very bottom and see even more detail about how we are delivering and measuring success, including EIP action priorities and our monitoring programs that look for this particular constituent. By clicking on these links, you can actually go directly to the Environmental Improvement Program page within the EIP tracker that shows even more detail about the action priority of the EIP and provides specific details about those projects that contributed to our threshold attainment calls. And you can click into specific detail about that that shows photos of each project and funding sources. You can also go to the monitoring programs themselves and see even more detail about those programs. Throughout the tracker, if you want to go back to the home page, you can use these drop-down buttons to go back to the main threshold dashboard page. And if you're within the dashboard, you can simply click on threshold dashboard here and it will take you back to the main home page where you started. There's also more detail here on drop-down menus about the evaluation itself, as well as opportunities to go directly into categories from this menu at the top as well. You can also use our search bar to find even more information or look up indicators by name here. Finally, on every page, in this case here at the bottom, and on indicator pages near the top, there's opportunities to provide feedback to us about that standard itself or to ask any questions that you might have. Throughout the site, if you run into any issues, just simply click on Request Support on the upper right-hand side, and it can send us an email and we'll respond with help or give you a call if you have questions about how to navigate the tool. So that's a very quick overview of our dashboard. And again, we hope that that everyone has an opportunity to review it and to provide feedback to us on it. I'm now gonna jump back to the presentation. And I just want to take a quick moment to thank everyone who contributed to this report. In particular, Gene McNamara did most of the heavy lifting on it, along with Dan Segan. Our TRPA field collection from Beth Vollmer and Sean Tevlin, as well as our data analysis, visualizations, and maps from Emily Ulrich, Mason Bindle, and Reed Hafer. I also want to acknowledge the Tahoe Science Advisory Council and our research partners at UC Davis, the Tahoe Environmental Science Center, University of Nevada, Reno, and Desert Research Institute. And of course, our environmental improvement program partners, our land managers and agency partners. And we want to recognize the US EPA through our SNPLMA and the states of California and Nevada for extra funding for the data collection and analysis for the evaluation and for the development of the new threshold dashboard. And finally, I'd like to thank our technology partners and our developers at Sitka Technology Group who helped us build Lake Tahoe Info and all of these amazing interactive tools. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have and open it up to discussion. Thank you.
Wow, Ken, that is fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for the presentation. And it's such a wonderful way of demonstrating all the hard work that staff and its partners put into Lake Tahoe. That you know, it tells such a compelling story of what it is that we're doing to be able to go through that data and to see the interactive tools that you can apply to the data. Okay, so let's talk with Ken. I'm going to go to the chat here and see if anybody's queued anything up here. Just call me out if you'd like to talk to Ken about this. I would like to know, Ken, just right offhand, what kind of traffic do you get on that website from the public versus people who are actually involved in projects versus partnering agencies? I mean, can you give us just a little bit of a roadmap as to who you're hearing from, what you're hearing about most, and why they're calling or contacting you on the interactive site?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and we've talked, I think, to you many times over the years about our philosophy and our build out of the Lake Tahoe Info platform and how we really started out with this platform, trying to build it in iterations, and to get buy-in of our partners and of the public as we build things and then expand to other areas. And so we've definitely seen as we've added more and more tools to the site, that our usage has increased exponentially. The site itself, and if you go to the Lake Tahoe Info page, you'll see there's a variety of tools that we've now built. There is a parcel tracker that is really the go-to source now for property owners in the basin that want to know about the permit history of their parcel, want to know what their land capability is, want to know, you know, what development rights they might have and what opportunities they may have for additional development on their site. And so we've had really significant volume of users going through that tool. A lot of our realtors and property managers and others, when new properties are coming on the market, are asking us to make sure that information is updated so they can provide it to prospective buyers. We also have our monitoring data. on the monitoring dashboard that's available here. And you can see each of our monitoring programs and really detailed information about bicycle and pedestrian volumes and so much more data there. We have the Lake Clarity tools that our TMDL partners built on Lake Tahoe Info instead of trying to build it outside of the system. And so all of our Clarity tracking tools and the crediting program is built in Lake Tahoe Info on the Lake Clarity tracker. So there's really amazing volumes. Our mooring registration program is now built out here in Lake Tahoe Info, and we've seen a lot of volume of users from that. Just in this last year, I think we went from about 10,000 users to nearly 20,000 users, mostly, again, driven by moorings and parcel tracker usage. But we have seen, we just wrapped up the environmental improvement program's annual reporting season. And so our EIP partners that have really, from the very beginning of Lake Tahoe Info, used this tool and the EIP tracker as the go-to source for all of their performance measure reporting. And so we've seen really incredible success with this site.
Thank you so much, Ken. It looks like Jim Lawrence has a question for you. Jim?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And thanks, Ken. Great presentation. I've got a comment and a question. I guess my comment is regarding LT Info website that has been evolving over the years. I mean, you mentioned it started out with the EIP and now it's growing. I just want to hats off, sincere compliments to everybody that's been working on the LT Info website. I'm directing more people to that website because it's got great information on it. And to me, one of the telling indicators that it's a success is that I'm actually starting to use it for my research instead of calling up my staff. So that tells you how good it is if I'm starting to use it. So anyway, I wanted to pass on those compliments. My question is really regarding the threshold evaluation. And I appreciate your comment early on, Ken, that there's a lot to digest and we're really not going to get into the details of that now. This is kind of a comment and a question. What I have struggled with as a TRPA board member and also my capacity as the deputy director here at Natural Resources is up in the basin, we've got about, 9 thresholds and 151 standards and indicators, and I know we're making progress to streamline. But when you have so many silos, so to speak, it's sometimes hard to see the overall bigger picture. And by that, we have all these standards and indicators, but, how do you put all of that together and talk about the story of the environmental and social and economic health of the basin? I mean, there's a lot of threads in the threshold evaluation, which has to be done, and it's critically important. But as a decision maker, I'm always looking, how do you tie all of that together and then, tell the story of the overall health of the basin, which then would inform decision making. So is there any thought in that to like a state of the basin report or how you tie this all together regarding overall health? So thanks, Ken.
Sure. Yeah. It's a great question. And I think, as part of introducing this dashboard concept really provides us an opportunity and a platform from which to really view those interconnected systems in a much better way. And I think that what you'll see as we move from this draft evaluation to the final evaluation, we'll start to compile even more of that together. And with the final document, we'll likely produce an executive summary that does pull out a lot more of those sort of high-level themes and the interconnectedness of some of these different standards. I think that within the structure that we have, it does appear obviously very siloed, and certainly within the structure of the dashboard itself, going in through an air quality box or going in through a fisheries box. But I think one of the benefits of this platform is it allows us to interconnect those systems, so that you can see that our stream environment zone standards and improving those helps improve our fishery standards because, you know, we are concerned with stream habitat and concerned with lake habitat. And so I think that this tool really helps us to weave those interconnections much better than certainly a paper report or, you know, or the way that we've presented this information in the past. But I think we're also looking to other tools that can help us to again, bring that bigger story. You know, we've seen other, environmental agencies that try to tell that bigger story. And so we're looking at other tools that folks use that could be an overlay on top of this that does help, you know, sort of break down those silos a little more.
Great. Thank you.
I appreciate the response, and I appreciate the fact that it sounds like you are taking a good hard look at, you know, how you weave all of this together in order to tell the bigger story, which I think we need in order to get to the heart of some of the complex challenges. So yeah, thanks. I appreciate the answer.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim, for the question. I really appreciate it. Okay. Other questions for Ken while we have him here? This is really fantastic progress on the information front here. Any questions from anybody about how, what our targets might be with respect to further reduction, thresholds, how we might get there? Anybody have anything further on this? Okay, Ken. Thank you so much for presenting today. It was and for all the people in staff who have assisted you with that as well. We really appreciate it. We're going to, if you could stick around for a second, we're going to go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. And I'll ask Catherine to manage that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have no hands raised to make a public comment on this item.
Great, so we will deem public comment closed. Do we have any final comments from board members on this matter? This was informational only. So if anybody has anything further, this is the last shot at it on an informational basis. Okay, seeing none, Ken, thank you so much for everything. Really appreciate it. Please congratulate the entire team.
We will. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. We are now at reports. This is agenda item number 7. I'm going to pass this over to Joanne for the Executive Director status report.
Thank you, Mark. A couple of things today. I'm going to toss this most initially to Julie. She has a quick announcement, and then she's going to turn it back to me. I'll talk about a few other things. So let's start there.
Excellent. Thank you, Director Marchetta. This is Julie Reagan. I don't know. Can you all hear me? Oh, there we go.
Yes, we can.
Good afternoon. Excellent. Thank you. Nice to hear and see everyone. Julie Reagan. I am the Chief of External Affairs and Deputy Director here at TRPA. And before Joanne gets into her entire report, I did just want to augment that with a mention of our Lake Tahoe Restoration Act priorities list, which you can find on our brand new website that our team has launched in the last few weeks, trpa.gov, G-O-V, which is a change from our previous URL at .org. But if you scroll through that, you'll see restoration priorities listed. And I wanted just to remind the board that we do this every year. We assist the Basin Partnership, the U.S. Forest Service, in compiling a list that goes to Congress by March 15th of every year, and that is to comply with the Lake Tahoe Restoration Act's requirements for a priority list of restoration. So we have everything that you just heard Ken say basically incorporated into an annual list, in the authorized categories under that act, forest health, aquatic invasive species, watersheds and water quality, accountability, which actually helps us support that Lake Tahoe info website and the tracker, among other restoration priorities. So we submit this report to Congress every year, and it's up there on our site, and it's over $100 million this year. Of course, we know with all the conversations we had in the budget and operations this morning, you know, there's a lot of investment going on in the federal government. So appropriations are never easy to come by, but we wanted to take the opportunity to highlight these restoration initiatives to you and take a look. It's a very succinct PDF that you can look at on the website. That shows you all the projects, program areas that the teams have vetted extensively in partnership with the states, the federal government, the various local governments, and the private sector. So we're really proud of this list, and we collaborate with this very closely on the Forest Service as the head of the federal family in Tahoe, which is submitted to Congress. So I just wanted to draw your attention to that in addition to all the other information that Joanne has for you. So thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Julie. Appreciate it. Joanne? Did we want to see if anyone has any questions or comments on Julie's comments? Or do we want to, let's just finish the executive report, and then we can turn it over to the board members after that.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Joanne Marchetta for the record. And first up, what I want to really talk about a bit today is the annual report, which is in your packet. I will make as a first mention the fact that there was an attachment to the annual report that was omitted from the packet. It's been posted separately on the website, and so that can be reviewed. This isn't an action item, but certainly if after review of that anyone has questions, we're happy to take those offline, or I'm even happy to take those at next month's executive director report. So let me talk just for a moment about the annual report that is in the packet. And I will do what I like to do, which is to put 2020 perhaps in its rightful context. You know, it's been 12 years as the executive director of TRPA. And so we've been with many different governing boards, and the agency has traveled collectively to some important distance, you know, within that time. Certainly when I began this with all of you, I know it was a different board, but what I noticed 12 years ago was that as an organization, our primary activity as a governing board was really reviewing a really small handful of projects. You reviewed about 0.5% of the projects that we looked at annually at that time. So as an organization, we were tending to make policy on the basis of seeing only those very few projects, without really seeing the whole landscape and without, you know, seeing fully whether new policies fit within a larger system. I thought that the board was focusing at too small a level back then. And so we set a goal together to really scale up. And so rather than crawling around in the weeds of only a few projects, we slowly gained some altitude. So by the time we had approved the new regional plan in 2012, you all had managed, we had managed to redirect the governing board's focus to this higher policy perspective for Tahoe. And the regional plan set some new progressive policies for the region. And if you participated in our pick this morning, we talked at length about those. They were particularly related to our land use framework. And we committed to new policies that would change the land use pattern of a region from this old legacy development where we, you know, where we put development where we least wanted it and needed it. And now we're moving to sustainable communities, you know, a new land use pattern, compact, bikeable, walkable, small communities with access to good transit designed around up-to-date environmental standards. So really, since that 2012 regional plan update, we've been accelerating momentum to implement that new vision. So you see us working on affordable and workforce housing, and you see us looking hard at how do we incentivize SEZ transfers into and near to our town centers. We've seen extraordinary investment over the last decade. You know, a couple of years ago, it was $600 million of new investment on the South Shore alone. So why am I saying this? Last year, you approved a new strategic plan. That strategic plan emphasized a three-legged stool of initiatives to make sure that the land use system was working with the transportation goals. But in addition to that, in addition to those two legs of the stool, you added new program focuses. So you'll see in the annual report, you know, new focus on sustainable recreation, which is really now delving into our visitor management side of the equation, the need to make sure that behavior change keeps up with the physical system changes like transit and shuttles and parking management. You know, how do we get people to actually know about and accept and take advantage of those new systems? So if you take the time to read the 2020 annual report, what you're going to notice is that those three pillars, transportation, sustainable communities, sustainable recreation, are top of mind. They're not merely random silos, but they instead, they array a set of plans and programs and projects that are, you know, actions that intentionally and methodically combine to align all of the pieces of this larger system that we define in our regional plan. And all of it is designed to work together and come together into a harmonious whole. So next month, we're going to be taking very important action on a foundational piece of that regional system. It will be an update of the transportation side of the regional plan equation to bring it current with our 21st century intention to manage the growing numbers of visitors and to enhance the quality of life in our small Tahoe communities. So that set of changes is perhaps as important as the regional plan update was in 2012. And the 2020 annual report is this navigational map that walks you through the incremental accomplishments that set us up for that next quantum leap in policymaking for Tahoe. And we'll do that next month. So I'm not going to go through the specifics of the report. I wanted to paint that larger perspective for you on what 2020 actually represented within the long view of Tahoe. And honestly, our stellar staff accomplished putting all of that together within and during the vagaries of COVID. You know, COVID and any number of other extreme social disruptions and all of that would have distracted lesser beings. So to our staff, I say thank you to them again for their dedication and their resilience. And I thank the board for, you know, continuing to take this journey with us. And so with that, I'll close my report and just take any questions that you might have on the 2020 annual report.
Great. Thanks so much, Joanne. I appreciate it. Questions and comments for Joanne, please. Oh, Bill, yes, please.
Joanne, to follow up on your final comment, it was a year ago, my colleagues, that we launched into the virtual world of TRPA governing board meetings. And I remember doing the training, all the stuff we did, but it has been quite remarkable how well our staff has done and trying to juggle the workload that they had and no longer really having the central location of TRPA's office. And yet, you know, as far as I'm concerned on some of the issues I've been working with them, we hardly missed a beat. And it's really quite remarkable the work that they have done, and several of them have families and children that were out of school and juggling all that and their partner's job and all that. It has been quite remarkable. Certainly Joanne's leadership, but the leadership of that executive team and just the individual competence and commitment of our staff is just, hats off. It was a rough year, a long year. But I really am grateful for the support the staff put into that. And as someone who suffered through the 9 months of virtual meetings where Mark took over, I miss all of you. But I'm glad that the work that we did worked so well. And Joanne, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Well said. Well said, Bill. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments for Joanne? Joanne, spectacular leadership in 2020, spectacular group effort in 2020, and I'm looking forward to 2021. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, John Marshall, you are up.
Nothing major to report, except we did get one piece of litigation dismissed, the Richard versus TRPA case, which involved the Ganawabi appeal, if you'll remember, many moons ago, about some neighbors fighting over some single-family residences being built on Ganawabi. That was dismissed voluntarily by the plaintiffs after extensive briefing, but before a decision. And we are basically in the midst of briefing our other cases, and so nothing to report there. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it. Okay. Now we will move to the next agenda item and talk about governing board reports. Does anybody as a member of the governing board have a report? Let's see. I'm looking at the chat. I don't see anything. Jump in verbally if you wish. Okay. Hearing none, we will then jump into agenda item number 9 on committee reports. We have anybody? Let's go through the committees really quickly. See if RPIC had a very busy morning. Bill, did you have anything on that?
We did have a very good presentation on our vehicle miles travel threshold and changes to our regional transportation plan that's incorporating that new threshold, and also the individual project assessment. And that'll be carried over till next month. We received some good comments, both from the committee members and from the public. There's some opportunity here, I think, to kind of work through some language issues and get this put together so that we'll have something we can recommend to the full governing board at the April meeting.
Great. Thanks so much. You did a wonderful job, as did staff with RPIC this morning on a very complex, difficult issue. And it's very, the direction in which we're going is so clear. It's so logical. And I think it's going to be so beneficial. Thanks, Bill, for that. Okay, let's, is Bud here on Forest Health? Are there any updates?
Yes, I am here. And just quickly, we will be having a presentation in May that will be coordinated by Cap McIntyre, the Forest Health Program Manager for TRPA. We're going to have and it'll be for the entire governing board to give us a general update and informational presentation on what's going on. In addition to, of course, the Tahoe West project, you know, we have other things that are out there. There is a Simplema Round 18 funding matter that's currently out for public comment by the BLM. the Tahoe Fire and Fuels team originally requested $45 million, but BLM they cut it down to 27.5. So that is out for public comment now until April 14th. And there's a number of other things that we're working on too. I'd like to thank Steve Teixeira. He brought to my attention the fact that we did not address a provision in the Forest Health Code that needs some attention, or at least needs some discussion. And it's a provision that was adopted in 2010 that suspended the acceptance of applications for biomass facilities within the basin. Maybe time to have a discussion about that. There's been some interest in possibly placing a small biomass facility in the basin. There is an interest, though, now that's pending on the Loyalton site. That site, which was open for a period of time and then went through a bankruptcy, is now under new ownership. And so they're looking for funding and to go back into business, which would be a real positive.
Okay, I think we're having
for those of you who've been around a while, you may recall that the Bi-State Fire Commission back in at the time of the Angora will be up for discussion and some other things in May. And that's my report. Thank you.
Great, Bud. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. We appreciate the report and all the work that's going on behind the scenes, and we're looking forward to hearing more. Okay, Jim, EITP. Do you have, I know you guys have a meeting coming up right after Governing Board. You've done already jumped in and done a tremendous amount. Do you have any summary of a report that you want to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Thanks, Mark. So yeah, you're absolutely correct. I keep trying to figure out how to make an acronym out of this, but this, the EIP committee is going to meet, you know, I would suggest 10 minutes after the conclusion of this board meeting to give some of the members a little bit of a break. We did meet last month, and I guess a couple things I want to report out is, you know, I think the focus of this committee, particularly for, you know, the next several months, is going to be focused on transportation, particularly sustainable revenue and identifying the gaps and the need and the benefits. We had a great session last month where we ran long, but we had a good brainstorming session with the committee members really to try to lay out some of the foundational questions or issues we need to grapple with regarding the why, what, who, and where regarding sustainable revenue. You know, like who pays, what does it look like, and how it would be administered. So we had a good brainstorming session on those issues. That was last month. This month, we are going to be having a presentation on the RTP and the Linking Tahoe Regional Transportation Plan and the Sustainable Community Strategy, as well as taking some input regarding sustainable transportation funding. So looking forward to that session, and I think it's going to be good. And that's my report.
Great. Thanks so much, Jim. Really appreciate it. Good luck with your meeting this afternoon. Shelley, operations and governance. I know you met this morning.
Hey, Mark.
How are finances looking?
We're good. We're good. In addition to the two items that we discussed this morning that were approved on consent, we also received a presentation by Bruce Remington, who's our financial advisor, and Gail Borden, the trustee who provides administrative oversight of our portfolio. And there are a couple of things of note. As of December 31st of 2020, the market value of our portfolio was approximately $11.95 million. And although our average yields, not surprisingly, were relatively low, they were still positive. And our advisor continues to look for ways of increasing these yields while working within the existing investment sideboards. So that's all I have to report. All is good.
Great. Thanks so much, Shelley. Appreciate it. Okay. And Sue, local government and housing.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Just wanted to make an announcement that there will be a Housing Solutions webinar specifically about ADUs will be held on March 31st at noon. And so if you need any information, please get hold of Karen Fink or myself, and we'll get you that link. But we are moving ahead with discussions about ADUs and other issues that are of relevance. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much. We appreciate your leadership there. And as far as the legal committee goes, I'm just following John's lead, and that's never led me astray. And I appreciate everything you're doing, John, to protect our record and to keep us out of any kind of trouble. And once there is a claim, doing such a remarkable job taking care of it. So with that, it brings us to agenda item 10, and that is the final public comment. Our final matter of business in our general public interest comment period. Any member of the public wishing to address the governing board on any item listed or not listed on the agenda, including items on the consent calendar, may do so at this time. Individuals or groups who have already commented on items listed in the agenda are not permitted to comment on that same topic. The governing board is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public during this public comment period. We'll hear comments on any single topic not on the agenda for up to, but not to exceed, 30 minutes. We'll hear as many unique comments as possible. We'll hear comments for up to, but not more than, a total of 60 minutes. All unheard comments can be submitted via email to mambler@trpa.org and will be forwarded to all governing board members. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand and go to webinar. You will be unmuted one at a time by TRPA staff, will indicate that you do have the floor. So at this point in time, I'd like to turn this over to Catherine and thank her very much for her very good work and for making sure that we're all on track today. Catherine, can you please take a look at us? Take a look at public comment for us and see if anybody's interested.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ann Nichols, you are unmuted on my end to address the governing board.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ann Nichols, North Tahoe Preservation Alliance, on behalf of them. And did you say 30 minutes? I know you were kidding, or maybe I misheard you.
A total. That's a total, Ann.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say today was that discuss what has happened with the SEP program. We are really seeing it to be a failure. Homewood Mountain Resort and Boulder Bay have failed the community. It's been over a decade now, and TRPA's SEP program, they've failed to complete their BMPs or improve water quality. Homewood has left a boarded up mess at the Tahoe Inn. The Tahoe Inn property is tagged and toxic with mold. I attached photos to the submission that I sent to Ms. Ambler. There, I think there's even body parts painted on the outside of it. Boulder Bay is starting up again with massive condo towers. It's a change. And at the same time, again, trying to take our fourth exit out of the Crystal Bay neighborhood through abandonment. We fought this 11 years ago and won, but they're trying to do it again. The residents better have wings if there's a fire. The Boulder Bay site is strewn with rusted junk and falling down buildings. Both the Tahoe Inn and parts of the Boulder Bay property are health and safety issues. Placer County won't help. Washoe County won't help. JMA won't clean up their mess, but they're beginning the process of building luxury condos in Homewood. They had design review committee two nights ago. The excuse for their failure to demolish the Tahoe Inn is that it wasn't a condition of approval and they needed to divert funds elsewhere. In fact, raising the Tahoe Inn is a condition of transferring their TAUs. The residents here in my community are furious. It's been 10, 11 years. There are reasons for the massive SEP program failures. First of all, it wasn't just the resultant lawsuits. The proposed projects were too massive and expensive. TRPA approved these bad ideas, and now they are morphing into giant condo complexes because that's the hot commodity in real estate. Condos are a different animal use-wise, and traffic has become brutal in the decades since approval. TRPA must require a new traffic study, not just a refreshed study based on these projects. Both Homewood and Boulder Bay have found a developer's loophole, namely phasing. Unbelievably, Homewood is beginning with a phase within a phase. Seven freestanding condos are avoiding a traffic study and avoiding the mitigation requirements for fire evacuation. Boulder Bay began with 18 condos, avoiding the triggers of their mitigations. TRPA, you can resurrect and improve the SEP program with enforcement. Hold Homewood and Boulder Bay's feet to the fire to complete mitigations before a shovel hits the ground. Make the counties require Homewood to demolish the Tahoe Inn and Boulder Bay demolish their derelict buildings, the cabins and the Crystal Bay Motel. Smaller projects like Tonopah 2 and the Henriksen building were removed in advance of development. One more sentence. TRPA, Cindy Gustafson and Alexis Hill, help your communities. Require Boulder Bay and Homewood to clean up their mess before they develop. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Is anybody else in the mood for public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ellie Waller, you're unmuted to address the governing board. Ellie Waller?
Hi, this is Ellie Waller. Thanks for the opportunity to speak today. I was taken a little surprised here about the biomass announcement. I had seen the Loy Olton information about what they're looking at. The failure in the basin to do it to begin with led the public to believe it could be done. It was not financially feasible then. I don't see how it's going to be now. At least in Placer County, it was that way. I'm looking forward to seeing updates on this on a regular basis, not just having it thrown out like this. I'd like to see it agendized for where it properly belongs. I also attended the design review committee meeting. We did ask Placer staff if TRPA had done their meetings yet, and they said no. At least they knew that you had not gone through the process, again, because we have different ways of looking at it between the governing board and the Placer County staff. I have issues they did that design review doesn't bring up as far as scenic. We don't regularly get information on when the CUP has been reviewed from Placer County, as well as whatever level staff analysis is done. In 2017, April, an email to Julie Roll, I asked, where is the demolition going to take place of the Tahoe Inn? The response back, again, in April of 2017, with then Alan Bruch, Placer County, as carbon copy, number 220 CUP, the project is approved as a phased project. The development review committee shall determine when any of the preceding conditions apply to a given phase of development where such timing is not specified as a condition. So if there is no condition for taking down the Tahoe Inn, I'm requesting that also Supervisor Gustafson get this accelerated and get the decayed, decrepit building taken down. Appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make public comment.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Jim, before we adjourn, tell us what your thoughts are with respect to the commencement of EITP.
EITPO.
Your committee.
Yes. Yeah, I'm thinking, personally, I need a 10-minute break. Thinking about starting up at 1:20. Julie, Michelle, Nick, are you guys going to be ready to roll at 1:20?
Sounds good.
Excellent.
Okay, does that work for the committee members?
Yes, good.
Yes.
Awesome. Good. Thank you. Let's do it 1:20.
Great. 1:20. Thank you all so much.
Do I have a motion to adjourn the governing board meeting?
So move.
Thanks, Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. Okay, Jim.